Elizabeth Banks has teamed up with State Street Global Advisors to uncover the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. It's a podcast and film series called Crazy Enough to Work. Discover it online and wherever you find your podcasts. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
With your Money Briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen. There was a time when investors in World Wrestling Entertainment were thrown to the mat. Well, times have changed. We'll get an update on the success of WWE in a moment. First, these money and markets headlines you need to know. Some good news for home buyers. Home price growth slowed in June for the third straight month. Rising interest rates, along with elevated prices resulting from a lack of inventory, are putting the brakes on price increases after gains had grown significantly faster than both incomes and inflation for most of the last 2 years. And the price increases appear primarily to be squeezing middle and upper middle class buyers, with the wealthiest Americans continuing to spend more to buy homes. Toll Brothers saw a 30% increase in profit in the quarter ending July 31st, with customers spending $165,000 on average toward premium customization and design features. And a new federal law going into effect in September will make it easier for families to combat a growing problem of identity fraud of minors, allowing them to make inquiries about credit files in their child's name and freeze a file at no cost. Experts in the data security industry say that children are increasingly targeted by thieves who steal their social security numbers and create fake or so-called synthetic identities, then open credit cards and take out loans or apply for public assistance. The credit reporting company Experian estimates that such identity theft will affect 1 in 4 children before they become an adult.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. The business world includes almost everything, so American Express covers almost everything. It's all connected. Technology needs business. Business needs government. Government needs technology. It's one big circle of backing that's supporting, advising, funding, and informing. It makes the business world go round. The bottom line is that it's way better when someone has your back. You really don't have to go it alone when you have American Express, because they have your back. Don't do business without it.
We're joined by Heard on the Street Deputy Editor Spencer Jacob, and shares of World Wrestling Entertainment were seen by many as down for the count just a few years ago, but those who stuck with the likes of wrestlers AJ Styles and Charlotte Flair and Kyle O'Reilly have enjoyed sweet returns. But Spencer, it hasn't been a straight line upward for the stock.
No, it hasn't. The company's been public for a while, and they've had some booms and busts, and they're definitely in one of the boom periods right now. I think it could continue. There's some skepticism. It's up 162% so far this year. It's up something like 700% since their last low, which was in early 2015. But they are, kind of on the cusp of a, very lucrative series of contracts that I think could keep the stock moving higher.
We mentioned some wrestlers. You can't really discount Grand Poobah Vince McMahon, also from WWE.
No, you can't, no. I mean, he's really very closely associated and has very tight control over the company personally. I think he's about 70 years old. There are some younger executives, though, who have pushed some innovations. George Barrios, the chief financial officer, has now joined the board, who was seen as instrumental in cementing this new, much more lucrative media deal that's going to kick in next year.
You know, this new comprehensive content deal put investors at ease, but there was a lot of concern, especially with a standalone TV deal with NBC Universal.
That's right. So they are in the middle right now of an existing 5-year deal that expires next October. And the people were very, very disappointed when they heard the details of it back in 2014. Now, basically, they thought that they were, getting far too little, because people were getting very excited at the time about UFC and things like that, other forms of live entertainment. And they had, I guess, unrealistically high expectations, or WWE didn't do a very good job negotiating that contract. This time around, it actually split the contract between Fox and its traditional home, which is Universal USA Network, owned by NBC Universal, and got a much better deal.
You know, it's remarkable that TV ratings have declined for WWE and a lot of other properties as well. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really mean the WWE has seen an erosion in its following and in turn its revenues. I mean, it has an enormous following online.
If you just looked at that, then you would draw some very pessimistic conclusions. If you just looked at that for Major League Baseball or NFL or anything, you would draw some very pessimistic conclusions, but they would be wrong conclusions because TV viewership is trending older, a lot older. And especially, it's very male, very middle-aged to even, in the case of sports like baseball, almost in the senior citizen range in terms of the average viewer. But people watch sports in different ways now. They pay for content, you know, in the case of MLB, MLB Network, or people who like fantasy football will watch Red Zone. And it's the same for WWE, where people pay for watching pay-per-view events, or they watch clips for free on YouTube. This is actually, they have a gigantic YouTube presence.
That really jumped out at me. Yeah. Is an amazing following they have on YouTube.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, they get billions of views per month on YouTube. And I mean, if you, to the extent you consider it a sport, it's the number one sport worldwide in terms of YouTube views. And I think it's the number two YouTube channel overall in the U.S.
Wow. This is like a sea change for WWE. As you point out in your column, live entertainment hasn't had much of a problem attracting investor interest, but the World Wrestling Entertainment, that's had a history of getting a cool reception from Wall Street, and that seems to be turning around just recently.
Yeah, I think analysts seem to have kind of missed the boat on this. And I think part of it, and one person I spoke with who's a longtime wrestling journalist said that there's a bit of a stigma to it, and that might hurt it. And if you think about the audience of WWE, you know, something like 100% of fund managers and stock analysts have been to college. Something like 10% of WWE fans have been to college or graduated from college. And that might be part of the problem, kind of understanding its appeal. It's, you know, you have sort of, you know, teenage boys or even preteen boys who are very into it. You have largely black, Hispanic, rural, uneducated audience that are into it. So different demographics, not the sorts of people that you tend to meet and, you know, meet at the barbecue in Westchester and talk about wrestling with. Mm-hmm. Not that there aren't people who fit that demographic either, but that might be part of the problem in kind of, you know, understanding its appeal and missing some of the turning points. You know, if you look at it right now, for example, only half of analysts rated a buy, whereas the average for any stock rated by analysts is close to 80%. So it's a, you know, that's a fairly cool reception, and the stock has, you know, that it was even worse when the stock was really beaten down and beginning this over 700% run. So I have three teenage boys, you know, and they at one point were really into it. Although they noted, you know, they were really into wrestling video games too. They had a WWE SmackDown video game. SmackDown is the name of one of the shows, and they loved it. They know the name of every wrestler and all the different moves, and you know, and were telling me that, like, actually the video game is the only thing where you actually don't know the outcome because you're fighting against each other.
Oh,
you know, two of my sons will fight each other, and, you know, they're actually competing, whereas in WWE, that's one of the sort of, you know, strikes against it in a way, is that it is obviously, if you didn't know this, sorry to be spoiling anyone's enjoyment of this, but it is fake. It is choreographed. It looks very exciting, and the physical feats that one sees in a wrestling show are very impressive, but they decide the winner in advance. And that's why it is a sport, I guess, in a sense, but not a sport in the sense of the outcome not being known, although it is not known to the viewers at the time. And it's not known to the extent that there actually is gambling. There's sports gambling on WWE outcomes, which I found very surprising.
Now, World Wrestling Entertainment, as we've been talking about, it's seen by many as being an attractive stock. It's a component of the Herd on the Street team's summertime stock picks feature. Spencer, how can our listeners get involved?
So there is a very good way for people to participate in the contest, which is that just as each herd rider around the world is making two stock picks as part of this contest, my two were WWE and Skechers, both of which I was long. Readers, subscribers to the journal can go to the stock picking page and make two picks of their own and see how they stack up against each other, and it's totally private. You see how you rank against us. And at the end, there'll be some prizes handed out for the winners. We've had overwhelming response from readers already just in the several hours that the stock picking contest has been open. And it's open for the next several days.
All right. You can check it out at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And that is Wall Street Journal Deputy Editor of Heard on the Street, Spencer Jacob, joining us here in our studio. Spencer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.